I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Uncle Julio's in Frisco off of Preston Road. And right now, we bring to you from DallasCowboys.com, it is Kyle Yeomans. How's it going, man?
See, now that I've seen you actually try the drop in person,
yeah,
it fits. Like, I even when I'm on the phone, I can't tell the difference.
I focus every time.
And you do. You lock in.
Yeah.
I can see the tunnel vision, and then you drop the Kyle Yeomans, and then it's there.
I'm still trying to figure out. I can't remember that moment exactly. Was Sean trying to say your name correctly? Because I remember I called you three different names the entire year. And I wonder if he was like, I want to get this right. Kyle Yeomans, and that's how that happened. I think that's how it worked.
It had to be. I honestly, it's funny because the drop wasn't like an immediate thing. It showed up a couple weeks later when Peyton clipped it and just used it randomly. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time when somebody texted me and was like, are they talking mess? Like, are they messing with you?
No.
I was like, no, actually, like, I've listened back to the segment. It's not that at all. But it is funny. Like, it's a funny drop.
It's a term of endearment for me now. I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
You get put into some of the weirdest situations. I mean, you got to admit that. That
yes,
is sometimes you're just
for
like,
sure.
Oh, all right.
And there's only one time I heard Sean and RJ use it inappropriately. I was like, come on, y'all. Don't put that on him.
He's not a serial killer.
So, oh, no.
I know there's a lot to get to. Number one thing that I think has been agitating me all day. Can we agree that the Packers are not the Chiefs and they're not guaranteed to be in the Super Bowl and make this a quote-unquote useless second-round pick? Mm. We'll get to that other part in just a second, but can we agree that the Packers are a good team, but it's not like they've gone 15-2 consecutively?
Yeah, they paid their quarterback $55 million a year, and what has Jordan Love really done to this point in time, too? I know that's the argument around
Dak. He beat the crap out of us. But
he did,
that,
yeah, other than that. That was the argument around paying Dak Prescott. Why is that not the argument for Jordan Love nationwide? And I think this Packers team is a contender, but are they does the path to the Super Bowl run through Green Bay, Wisconsin? I don't think so, not at this point. The defense is much improved. You get an elite pass rusher like Micah. That does wonders, but I don't know if it's an automatic Super Bowl. You're picking in the 30s now with that first-round pick over the next 2 years. I just don't see that as the case.
I wonder how much they're going to miss Kenny Clark.
Like maybe.
The addition of him, again, Bobby was like, look, he's not a world beater, but he's a nice piece, and he's better than any of the tackles that we had.
And he costs nothing.
Yeah, that's a huge factor.
And you have him under contract through 2027, so you have him for 3 years.
With no guaranteed
with
money.
Zero
so
guarantees.
If you're like, never mind, you have no financial commitment.
Yeah,
he gets off the plane as your best nose tackle, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he walks off the bus this morning as your best nose tackle.
Yeah,
and that's what you've improved on this team. Yes, you.
But
have.
But also a sad indictment of what we've done for that position.
It's not a high bar to raise, but it does raise the bar nonetheless. So your interior defensive line is better today than it was yesterday. But is your team across the board better today than it was yesterday in 2025? No, it's not. And I think that's the conceding side of this from the Cowboys front office. And while they're going to say this is better for our football team, I think when they say that, it's not a lie in their minds, but it's looking ahead to 26 and 27. I don't think any of us up here would have put the Cowboys in the Super Bowl with or without Micah Parsons.
Nope.
That's not what they are right now. But now you have a chance to build it going forward. I think they could have gotten more for the trade, but I really don't hate the trade and the compensation that was returned.
So I think that leads to the question that, Corey, I know you're thinking. What do you think about Lenoris Sellers as the future quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys? We're just kicking some names around.
You know,
that's what you were going to ask.
That was a completely different question, but I like this question.
Good player at South Carolina, you know. He wears the rec specs every once in a while.
He does.
He definitely does. He was great in the recent Netflix documentary. I mean, he's got some talent.
So
I know
everybody just watch him or something.
I think you should watch him maybe a little bit. We should all be watching quarterbacks. Your quarterback's in his 30s now. I think from this point forward, and we've been on the draft show since 2020 and have kind of stayed away from the QB conversation, that's not going to be the case forever. I think over these next few years, especially when you have draft capital that can move, like the four first-round picks over the next two seasons, there's a chance that you could be looking at a quarterback, whether Dak's ready to leave or not.
Wait, okay, let's think about Joe Milton real quick.
Uh-huh.
Does he have a shot at being the future of this, or is it, man, he's got too much work to do? These other guys that could be drafted or would be far more effective.
He would need to earn the second contract. That's all I see. The fact that he's still 23 years old, early in his career, he's only in year two in the NFL, there's a lot of work left to be done. But he could very easily, with the intangibles that he has, he could be the next guy. I just don't see it right now. I mean, he's got leaps and bounds to even get close to what a starting quarterback should look like in the NFL, not to mention a franchise quarterback in the NFL. He's got to go way above what he has now, but he has time to do that. He's under contract for two more years as well. You can kind of grow him into that role and piece it all together.
I think Schottenheimer looks forward to the opportunity to watch him and help him do that too.
If we're looking at betting odds of like who would replace Dak Prescott, I wouldn't put Joe Milton at the top of my list.
The pass rush in particular, where are we going to find that from? Are there guys that are capable of putting up double-digit sacks on this team?
This is a direct, not a quote, but it's a feeling. When it comes to the edge rusher spot, the fact that they did not go get a guy, there are some in Green Bay that can help you with your edge rusher depth, shows me they feel good about that position. They feel like Donovan Ezeraku can maybe be that guy moving forward, and they've invested other second-round picks. Sam Williams, he's coming back. Can he finally live up to the expectation and stay healthy? Can Marshawn Nealon take a step forward as an edge rusher that is mostly a run stopper and somebody that can set the edge as well? You're hoping those guys step up. That's where it's coming from right now. And then if maybe it doesn't come here in 2025, maybe then one of those first-round picks is something you could look forward to.
And there
as
are
well.
Some names, obviously, that we've seen floating around there.
Yeah.
The Ezeraku, when I watched him in the preseason, I saw the moves are good. Mm-hmm. He gets off the ball great. He was still a little behind. He's a rookie. I mean, like, he's still a little behind. Last year they said this about Tyler Guyton. Mm-hmm. We know we're learning on the fly here. Or we know that we're – and are they kind of willing to say he'll develop over the season? We're willing to deal with that right now because next year he's going to benefit even more from it.
Yeah. The difference
between –
Or
do you think by the middle of the season he's going to be rocketing?
See, and that's where I think there's a little bit of a difference. The difference between Guyton and Ezeraku, and of course they play different positions, but when we were at camp last year, we were seeing the struggles from Tyler Guyton in his rookie camp, in practice, going up against guys like Micah, going up against guys on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage, whereas Donovan Ezeraku was borderline dominant at times in practice, and then he got to the games and it was subdued against opponents. That makes me think that they haven't unleashed what they've seen from Donovan Ezeraku
so far.
Or
even the reality of what Eberflus' defense might be. Yeah.
And that's kind of where I was leading is Jerry Jones said it last night, and I don't think this is a fabrication by any stretch. He said that there is a belief from Coach Eberflus that they can scheme pressure.
Yeah.
You can't scheme run defense, and I think you can kind of maneuver both. But you can scheme pressure, and when you have an athlete like Donovan Ezeraku that can get there and get it done, I think they haven't schemed it quite yet because they don't want to show what they have quite yet. And maybe internally that was part of that collective decision to say we're okay moving on for Micah Parsons because we've seen what we have and we know what we have. The rest of the world doesn't. We'll show them coming up on Thursday.
I mean, hell, the cornerbacks never played any closer than like 6 yards. So they didn't show a lot during those games.
It wasn't a whole lot either.
Would that be your retroactive tagline for this training camp? We're not going to show you much.
Yeah, preseason, yes. The training camp. You saw some stuff in training camp. Y'all were out
there. You saw more than we did. We were there so early that they were just kind of growing it. And we got great interviews. But you guys got to see more as things got going there.
There were some times where Donovan Ezeraku was dominating the line of scrimmage. And, I mean, it was against guys like Guyton before he got hurt, and it was Nate Thomas before he got hurt. Not before he got hurt, but before he kind of found his footing. Overall, yes, you're going to see better offensive tackles than what Ezeraku was going up against in practice. But even in the game, they're facing different guys than they're going to see the Rams play and the Ravens play throughout their season, too.
On the offensive front, I was surprised to see the move. I know it got buried under the mic of stuff about Ryan Flannoy.
Wait, he got released?
Yeah.
I missed it. No, yeah, I'm just kidding.
But, like, you get what I'm saying is it got buried underneath got everything buried. Else.
Zion Childress was on the practice field a minute ago.
Yeah.
And everybody looked around at each other and said, when did this happen?
Yeah, come on, Hall.
Kimon Hall gets released, Goming Green, but they made the move, and all of this was just under the radar. Nick Harris tweeted it out and was like, that's an easy break. That was one of the things he told us.
And with those moves, do you think we'll see either Kimon Hall or Flonoy come back around? Because I know there's a lot of, things that you do.
I like to call it roster gymnastics because they're just doing backflips to try and make this thing work. One of the conversations that a couple of media members and myself were having at practice a moment ago was they gave us this roster. They gave us the paper roster, and this is one of the weirdest looks that you'll have. But you look at the wide receiver position, there's only four names.
Yeah.
And so,
and one of them is also your kick returner.
Yeah, he's another guy that you're going to utilize in different spots. So they're going to make a move with Flannoy. I feel like there's a chance he comes back either to the roster or they find a way to get Kimon Hall in the mix, but there's 10 defensive.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Backs on the roster right this second, and there's only four wide receivers, which makes me think either Flannoy has a spot on the practice squad and they'll use his elevations as they come along, maybe wait for an injury or two at a different spot to pop up, and then you throw those guys onto the active roster.
Or you use one of these first-round draft picks to get Malik Nabers off the Giants.
Okay.
Is that just one?
Yeah.
I think you're going to need multiple to
although,
get that done.
I'd be stoked about that. So which is weirder to look at?
Is there enough footballs to go around?
No, yeah. No, there's not.
I would love that.
Need more footballs.
We don't actually need any running backs, you idiots. So what's weirder to look at? The four wide receivers here or the 105.3 The Fan schedule that has Micah Parsons on the front of it?
That is tough.
That was the first thing I saw when I walked in.
Sorry, buddy.
We're going to need to print some new ones.
Yeah. I mean, but
get the marketing team on it.
There's no way in hell I ever thought this was going to happen.
No. You and I were all, we were all on the show together, and I said it back in March. I don't think this is going to drag out.
Yeah.
I thought it would get done prior to free agency, and, of course, the conversations were happening in March. So that was what we were all hearing. Oh, there's an agreement. There's some movement here. They've had these conversations, and the fact that it turned into what it was, I mean, this is one of the wildest contract scenarios I think we could have ever seen.
This is a completely off-topic question. Ted Wynn, who I have a ton of respect for, his film work that he does, somebody said, why is nobody talking about Sawyer Robertson from Baylor? And he said, Sawyer Robertson's this year's Jackson Dart. I'm big on Jackson Dart and where he is right now, and obviously having Malik Nabers. I don't know anything about Sawyer Robertson. Yeah. Is this a good comparison?
Big-bodied quarterback, cannon of an arm, cerebral reads. I mean, he's a really good quarterback. He may be top two or three in the Big 12.
Add him to list.
He's a legit quarterback. I'll even make a prediction here. I grew up in Waco, so I keep tabs on the Baylor football program and been around it. My dad works as a sideline security there. He'll be there tonight when they play Auburn. But this is the most excited Baylor has been about their team since they went to the Sugar Bowl and they beat Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl a couple years back under Aranda, won the Big 12 against Oklahoma State, that classic game where they dove to the pylon and didn't get there at AT&T Stadium. I think they'll be back in the Big 12 title game this year. They're that good. And it all starts with Sawyer Robertson. Robertson specifically came onto the scene kind of under the radar last year and put up massive numbers against defenses like Colorado, defenses like Utah, played well in those big games against BYU, put up numbers. The defense just couldn't slow guys down. that offense is legit, and Robertson's the one that gets that thing going.
As long as we're covering all the levels of football, do you have any spicy high school football thoughts for us?
Tomorrow, the historic programs of Odessa Permian, which you remember from Friday Night Lights, Plano High School is going to be on NFL Network starting at noon.
I got to get my kid a ticket to that game.
I'll get you one. Just let me know.
I'll shoot
me a text.
That's why he said that.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it wasn't.
My kid's not going to that game.
Did you see him fake like he's
exactly.
going to,
he's like, I'm
to buy
get
a
my
ticket?
Kid
he's
a
like,
ticket.
Oh, Kyle's nice.
Oh, yeah,
he'll buy it.
He'll give it one. No, I think that's going to be a really good game. It was 13-10 last year. Permian is a team that, of course, tradition says they're a great team. They have a running back that had 2,400 rushing yards and 30-plus touchdowns last year. So
Sounds like he ran against us.
Yeah, for real. That game starting at noon on NFL Network, we'll have the call for that. So I'm excited about that tomorrow.
And yesterday, Craig James, we had him in studio, and he recounted that in 1978 he won the state title by, of course, defeating Plano Senior in the finals.
Yeah.
So
he also pointed out, like, if he could ever go back in his career to play on a team again, high school was where it was.
Wow.
And he said that while they were getting inducted in the High School Hall of Fame, multiple guys, Ray Lewis included, all said, yeah, my high school team. Because that's where you build those different relations. You're young. You're having fun.
Peewee ball going up with those guys, and then you're – playing in the high school ranks, it really is like kind of a different type of brotherhood.
And it was Billy Ray Smith was the player that I was thinking of, because at least like he's getting ready to play in the Super Bowl, and they're like, what do you think about the biggest game of your life? And he goes, I already played the biggest game of my life. It was a state championship with Plano. And I'm like, that's crazy. Yeah. But I don't think he was just BSing
about that. Yeah.
Now, the excitement that you have just in general, I know you talked about maybe there'll be a special edition of the draft show of just looking ahead saying.
You're giving that out on the air.
Oh, crap. Kevin, what are you doing?
Hey,
we're trying. Let's just put it that way.
We are trying to put one together.
The fan text is going to have my head if I don't get it to happen.
Now. Hey, what I would do
if I were you, dump that real quick.
I'm really sorry. Add me to Forgiveness Friday for being a dumbass. I was going to say just your general excitement, seeing how entrenched you are in the draft process at the idea of two firsts, the next 2 years, and what that could be.
It really is interesting because I even texted David Hellman last night just to make sure, because he was one of the early guys on the draft show along with Ed Cahill and Brian Broaddus.
And he does not love this deal.
No, he doesn't. And he said it'll be interesting to see where they shape out. But when I talked to Hellman, I was like, is this the first time, or what year did it start was the first one? And they started the draft show in 2013. The last time Dallas picked twice in the first round was back in 2008. And then, of course, 2005, they had the Spears and the Ware draft. Yep. That worked out pretty well for what they were trying to do. And you get this back-to-back years. You get it in 26 and 27.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. And then if not, you have something else to talk about. So I'm cool with it either way. It does give hope toward the future where instead of paying – you always hear Stephen Jones talk about the piece of the pie, and you talk about the salary cap. A huge chunk of that pie – would be Dak, CD, Micah. Now you can re-sign the guys that deserve to be re-signed. Pickens this year if he has a good year. Tyler Smith, Brandon Aubrey, Deron Bland. You can sign all those guys and have some chunk of change left over to pursue high-end free agents. You haven't done that in the past because of whatever reason.
And high-end draft picks.
And then you add the high-end draft picks too. You have a chance to really build this thing if you hit on your draft picks and you attack free agency in a different way than you have previously. 2026 and 27 could be really, really exciting.
Is there any part of you that believes what Jerry and Steven said last night about, hey, you never know, we could use some of that draft cap? Because that felt like kind of for show.
Yeah,
Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah, it goes back to what even Jerry said last night when he referenced on Stephen A., I've never thought about trading Micah Parsons. And they said, well, why did you say that on Stephen A. Smith's show? And Jerry responded with, if I was going to do that, you think I would say that to everybody?
And then he winked at everybody. Thanks for writing it.
I think it depends on how you perceive it. It depends on how you read it. I read it as they may look at shopping those first-round picks, but really it gets closer to the draft. That's when you're going to have a better idea of how you would use that. Because all of us up here are going to say, not a contender right now for a Super Bowl.
Correct.
This is a team that can have some playoff caliber results But get in the tournament, see what happens. Pull a Washington Commanders last year. Get in the tournament, get in the playoffs, see what happens. If you want to build a Super Bowl contender, you've got the next couple years to do
that. And that's, I go back to, this is what we talked about going all the way back to Crosstalk with Sean and RJ. I know the way they were doing it as presently constructed wasn't working.
Not
and
working.
It wasn't going to work.
This is completely different.
Exactly. And so I go back to this, and I'll say it again and again. To the people that hate the way the Cowboys do business, and I am one of those people who frequently gets agitated at the way they run the salary cap, this is a good day for you because they have said, you know what? We're going to do something totally different. Is it going to work? I don't know. But at least it feels like I am one of those people who likes the path of the unknown. If you know that the known is only going to get you this far.
Yeah, it'll get you to the playoffs, but it won't get you to
further.
An NFC title game.
Yeah.
Do something different. And that's what happened. And that's why we're talking about this trade. It's still shocking. It's still stunning. And you don't have a top five defender in the National Football League on your roster. So it will sting a little bit. But when you actually look at the big picture of this whole scenario, you have a shot to really build this to what is an NFC title game scenario or a Super Bowl scenario.
Something that could be not just that for 1 year, but multiple
years.
Because you'll have a young group like that together. And Kevin,
you wait out the 2 years to get out the Dak deal, and then you can really I got you.
A great GM around here once said, "Fortune favors the bold," and I think that's playing out for both GMs right now.
Okay, but that was never mind.
Okay,
never mind.
I'm not. You don't want to talk about Nico today.
I mean, look, because then we have to get into my conspiracy theory about the reason why he said that's the closest he can come to saying getting Cooper Flagg was part of the deal.
Yeah. Frozen envelope stuff.
I believe that too. So you can convince me on some sports conspiracy.
I'll tell you this: all the guests we've had on today it's been a great day. That moment of just kind of laying that whole picture out, though, that's the first time all day that I felt like, oh, crap, like this thing could be real. That really made me feel like this thing could be turned into something special down the road.
You still have to execute. You still have to hit. Those draft picks can't be fluffs. You can't mess those up. But if you hit, you've got a shot.
Do me a favor. We talk to Stephen Jones every single week.
Uh-huh.
If you could promise to never come on this show and say you still have to execute, I would really, really appreciate it.
I just appreciate you coming on the show. I really appreciate that.
Can you? I'll do that if you can ask a question for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I might not be able to ask this question. The Jerry Jones documentary, the America's Team, came out last week. One of the big storylines there was Jerry and Jimmy, who took credit for the idea, the first idea of the trade, but it was a consensus that they were going to trade Herschel Walker. I want to know who thought of it first.
Okay.
And I don't know if they'll tell me. They may tell you guys, but I want to know who thought of it first. They say it's a consensus. I want to know where it came from.
I will definitely ask, because as Corey knows, last year we realized nothing was out of bounds because he said he didn't know what happened between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie, and I recounted the whole thing to him right now, right down to the fact that Trayvon Diggs came back out and said D's nuts, and that's how I did the whole thing for
Steven.
So look, if we can get away with that, I feel like
you'll be fine.
We got a lot of freedom. Right.
Yeah. Either way, do you got a boogie?
I can do one more segment.
Okay, because we're gonna do Masterpiece of the Week.
Oh,
if you
want
to have some fun
segments.
With us. All right. Coming up next, it's time for Masterpiece of the Week. We'll get it going live from Uncle Julio's right here on 105.3 The Fan.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.